Hello, I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and welcome to the In Conversation With series, a series where I speak to notable figures in the realm of financial services. Listen as they share their personal journeys, thoughts on the industry, and advice for aspiring advisors. So today I'm joined by Tamsin Draper. Tamsin, could you give us a bit more of an introduction into yourself?
Yeah, sure. Hey, Kim. I'm Tamsin. I am currently working as a power planner. I work for a small kind of financial advisors local to me. We offer advice across most areas of financial planning, kind of tax, estate planning, retirement, the kind of usual areas. And yeah, I've been in the industry now for about how long? About 4 years now. Yeah, it's mad to say, really, because it's been a bit of a whirlwind. But yeah, so I'm currently studying my diploma in financial planning. I just sat my last exam, the RO6, so waiting for the results for that, which I'll get soon. And then hopefully I'll be qualified.
Oh, okay, fantastic. Mm. So let's start from the beginning. Mm. 4 years ago, go back 4 years. How did you kind of become aware of financial planning, or like the path into financial planning?
So I didn't really have a conventional route, and it wasn't something I knew I wanted to do from school. So kind of got a job, left school at 17, got a kind of full-time job, just office-based work for a bank, and then moved into working in general insurance, and did that for a couple of years, and kind of felt like, okay, I don't know what I want to do, but this isn't what I see myself doing forever. My mum works in the industry, has done most of her life. So I was kind of aware of it, but definitely not in any in-depth level at all. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it sounded interesting to me. My job at the time was mainly phone-based, so I was dealing with customers. I knew I absolutely loved that. So I thought I'd just kind of explore the industry, maybe try and get a job doing that, because I was just kind of had enough of my current role. So then started studying for my first exam, the RA1 exam, and got a job within the insurance companies retirement team, because they had like a life side as well. And that was kind of my first real taster of the industry, just learning the very basics of pensions. And from there, it's just been just a nonstop journey of just learning, really. I've just absolutely fell in love with the industry, kind of the benefits of it. And from there, that was great. I learned loads about pensions, but I thought I really, to go on further, I really need to work for an IFA or somewhere where I can learn about all the other areas of financial planning. So that was about a year and a half ago now. I got a job within an IFA as an administrator, and have worked my way up now to be a power planner. And then hopefully when I'm qualified, I'll be going on to learn the advice side of it.
And so, kind of moving through and becoming a power planner, what skill set do you think is necessary to have as a power planner? Because we talk time and again about, you know, financial planners, and I know that most people tend to go from being a power planner into being a financial planner. But what skill sets do you think are set apart compared to what you need as a financial planner?
Okay, so kind of the skill set to go into a power planning role.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the biggest one is probably got to be attention to detail. But genuinely, I didn't like school. I didn't really like studying. I wasn't particularly studious or very good at writing or anything like that. It's definitely something that can be learned. So I would just say, as long as you're willing to learn and you're keen, anyone can learn to do power planning, I think. But yeah, the main one is attention to detail. And anyone that works in this industry will know that you just learn that and you get better as it as time goes on. But those are skills that I picked up working in admin. So that would probably be the biggest one for me. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Yeah, you're just thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. It sounds really silly, but like for where I work now, you'll be given a bit of information from an advisor about their meeting with a client, but it won't be a big long document about everything they've discussed. You've kind of got to build around outside that, use your imagination and use your knowledge to kind of build into it to produce, you know, good reports and to be able to do the job basically.
Yeah, I find that very interesting, because obviously you're going to be moving into, you know, fingers crossed, I'm sure you passed and you're going to be moving on to becoming a very successful financial planner. But what do you think you'll be able to take from your time as a paraplanner when you're moving into that next role?
Yeah, sure. So definitely the kind of the admin side of it, the research side of it, like behind every, well, most financial advisors that work for a firm, they'll have a team of admin staff and paraplanners that do a lot of that groundwork for them. And that is, I feel like everything I've learned going through being an administrator to being a paraplanner will absolutely form the basis for me of being a good advisor, because you understand what has to happen in order for you to do your job, from mm-hmm. compliance to all the paperwork involved, all the chasing. And yeah, I mean, this industry is so, like, it feels like quite dated and paper heavy still. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people doing a lot of work to kind of change that, but it definitely feels out of touch compared to other industries. And that just means there's so much more work for admin and paraplanning to do. So I definitely think it'll help me in that respect.
Yeah. So is that the way that you're talking about it being dated? Is that what you kind of observed from moving from insurance to moving into like financial planning? Do you think that the tech and everything that is in insurance, the insure tech out there, is far ahead of what is currently in place in financial planning?
Not even that, to be honest. I think just like, just me personally, like how I use my phone. I basically do everything on my phone. If I want to check my online banking, if I want to apply for anything, like, you know, if you're getting car insurance, for example, I could just do that on my phone. It would take me 5 minutes. Whereas if someone wants to, you know, make a pension contribution or whatever, they've got to fill in X amount of bits of paper. But if they live far away, you've got to post that to them. It's got to come back. Providers in our industry want to see wet signatures. It just feels mad to me. And I know it is changing, and there's some companies out there that are doing a lot of work to change that. But I think a lot of firms are still stuck in their ways. Mm.
No, that is quite interesting. I guess that might be kind of one of those barriers in terms of, you know, modernizing financial planning. You know, you hear a lot of people talking about, you know, well, how are we going to get the next generation in? And if things like this are in place, do you think it could be something that could frustrate some people and think, oh, this is so outdated, you know, why can't they catch up?
Yeah, definitely. I think just from kind of my own sort of social media, people in the industry that I do follow tend to be kind of new to the industry and are making the most of the tech that is out there. So I think there's some really exciting things happen, and I think it will change the way that people access advice, you know, just even like looking at someone's Instagram stories and being able to pick out like bits of information, you know, about mortgages and pensions. Like, that's all there and that's all free and anyone can access it. Whereas in the past, that's never been there. You've had to arrange a face-to-face meeting with an advisor. And whilst we've had the internet for ages and it's been on there, unless you know what you're looking for, you wouldn't find it. So I think technology will absolutely make it a lot more accessible for people that perhaps conventionally can't afford financial advice or aren't even aware of it.
No, I think it's really interesting that now I do see, obviously I am working within financial services and I kind of understand what's going on, and that might be why my algorithm shows me more financial advice. But it's actually nice though, because I think before what I was seeing was financial advice that wasn't actually financial advice. You know, it's not from people who are accredited in any way. Mm. They're just spilling whatever thing that they've read on the internet without actually having the qualifications, the background to back it up. But now I see more and more advisors with the you know, the wherewithal to think, you know, I'm going to set up my own Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, whatever it might be, where they put these, you know, little updates, helping people understand stuff like even the mini budget and how it affects them. You know, it's, I think that's really positive that we're moving in that direction.
Definitely. And for anyone who's sort of thinking of doing it as a career, it's a great way for them to access actually what does that career look like, what's involved. And I think when I sort of first started out, I didn't really have a mentor. I didn't really have anyone that I could sort of speak to or just hear about their experiences. And it was only after sort of being in the industry for a year or two that I set up like a Twitter account just to be able to follow people in finance. And from there, I discovered so many podcasts and Instagram pages. And that has just helped me so much in my sort of journey. Just with my sort of knowledge and understanding, but also like, it's just really, so many people out there that actually want to help you and share their knowledge. And and it's all free. You just need to know kind of where to look. So I wish I sort of knew that when I was starting out, because I think it would have made a big difference.
Yeah, definitely. I also saw, I've seen it a lot when people talk about, you know, holistic financial planning. What does that mean to you? What is holistic financial planning?
Oh my God.
That's such a big question. I'm sorry.
A little bit. No, not really. I mean, it's funny when you say, like, some people prefer the term sort of financial planning, and some people like talk about it as financial advice. But I prefer planning personally, because I think it covers everything. It's not just about, you know, like setting up certain products, pensions, investments and stuff. It's everything to encompass all of your life, your family, the things that you want to do with your life, what holidays you want to go on, if you want to buy a home, if you don't. It's just, having that plan in place to help you achieve all those things. I think that's kind of what I would say holistic financial planning is.
So does that also mean, like maybe bringing in, when you talk about their family, does that mean that if, you know, the client comes in and they have a spouse and possibly children who are older, does that mean also involving them in this process as well at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. If they want to, because, you know, when that person, you know, is older, like if they've got plans, let's say to, you know, help their children or what they want to do when they get older, by bringing in their family and then being aware of it, I just think it gives you much more sort of ability to help them.
Yeah, definitely. And from someone who's been in the industry for 4 years, what are your thoughts on it currently? And where do you see the industry kind of moving forward in the next couple of years? Obviously, you've said that there's exciting technology coming up, but what else do you think?
Yeah, I would say what I've sort of touched on is a big one, just it being more accessible for people, and just being able to, you know, whether that's through social media or in, for example, in schools. I mean, when I was in school, I didn't learn anything about finance. I had no idea until really I was in my kind of early 20s, which is mad. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you know, if someone said to me, auto enrollment, I would be like, what? What on earth is that? And that, to me, that is absolutely crazy, because if you don't know what something is, how do you know how it affects you? Or
it's just something that comes out of your paycheck on a monthly basis, and you don't really question. I mean, I think when I first got my first job when I was 16, I think auto enrollment had just been introduced, so I would have that like marginal percentage that was being taken out. But now it's like I'm more aware of, you know, my pensions and my different pension pots, and also understanding that all of these documents from different jobs when I was a teenager and in my early 20s in university, all of those pensions were in different places.
Yeah.
But when I knew about like the pensions dashboard and everything, I was like, okay, I need to like put everything in one place so I can see it. And I actively did that. But I don't think any of my friends who don't work within this industry have any idea of that. So I'm kind of over here being almost the Debbie Downer saying, you know, you need to look through all those letters, hopefully that you saved when you were working in those jobs, and you can look at those different, but hopefully there'll be, obviously in upcoming years, they want to make it easier where you can just, you don't need to have all of those different numbers and stuff that you might have lost.
Yeah. And just, you know, if you know, perhaps if you saw on your phone someone, you know, someone regulated made an Instagram post about what auto enrollment is and, you know, how important it is, perhaps you might then think, okay, you know, because we know how easily influenced we are for that, just to say, okay, just to give you the tools and the information to actually understand something. Yeah, I just think, I mean, I speak to people now my own age that still wouldn't necessarily know what it is. And I just find that absolutely bonkers. But that's just a really small example of how, you know, what you don't, how, like, if you don't know something, then how can you kind of do anything about it? So
yeah,
I really do hope that we'll start to see, you know, more of that in schools. And to be honest, I don't know what the presence is in schools. I would love to get involved with it when I am kind of qualified, but it, yeah, hopefully we'll see more of that in schools, because if I learned about it in school, I might have shown more of an interest. I might have seen it as a viable career path. But yeah, the other thing I would say would be women in finance. There's still nowhere near enough women in finance, women CEOs. It's still crazy to me. We live in this sort of day and age, and it's, you know, business and finance is just dominated by men. You might look at an investment portfolio and you can see the photos of like the fund managers, and they are all men, all white men. And
of a certain age.
Exactly. And that to me, again, is just mad. So I hope that we'll see more women coming through in finance.
I think that would be just a very beneficial for the industry and like in general, just because different voices, different faces, different people have different backgrounds, and they can make it exciting in different ways. Like the ideas that you have about wanting to go into schools and talking to those people, that's a great entryway for that situation where the people are talking about how do we get newer, younger advisors in, because we have this gap that's going to happen when, you know, the old guard retire, then who's going to pick up, you know, that client bank? And if you know, younger advisors like you are being proactive and going into schools and talking to students, and they can see you and they can see where you've got to, they would aspire to that. Because, you know, whenever I used to have talks at school and I saw someone that I could relate to, someone who was not that far ahead, like in terms of their age, I would be like, oh, okay. And obviously, like, I never knew about financial advice when I was a teenager, so that could have been a viable path, but I had no idea.
Yeah, well, you see them and you think, well, if they can do that, then I can definitely do that.
Yeah,
whereas
exactly.
If someone said to me 5 years ago, well, you can actually have a career, even though you didn't go to uni, you can have a career and you can have a good one. Like, and I would have not believed them, no way, because I would have said, well, I haven't studied at school, so I wouldn't be able to. But actually, that's just not true. And yeah, people can be discouraged by that. But I think, yeah, if we could have more of a presence and for younger people to be able to see the industry, then that would naturally bring more people through, I think.
Definitely. So your dream is to, you know, become a chartered financial planner. Where do you see that taking you? Are you going to find a niche, or are you just going to keep kind of covering everything that you have currently been looking at within your IFA?
Yeah, so just sort of kind of thinking the next steps. I mean, I'm really lucky in that my employer, when they sort of brought me on, they said, you know, if we'll support you with your exams and train you to be a power planner if you want to, we'll train you to be an advisor. I mean, they're sort of getting to the age now where the directors of the business want to retire and pass clients on to me. So, I mean, that I've been really lucky in that that's an amazing opportunity for me. So that's kind of where I'll see my career going sort of in the next kind of few years. Past that, to be honest, I don't know. I think it's really early, and being a financial advisor isn't just about doing your exams. It's actually, you know, can you sit in front of people? Can you empathize and relate to them? You know, so until I actually do the job, I don't know if I'd be any good at it, but I definitely want to have a presence and be able to help others into the industry, whether that be, you know, talks in schools or sort of things like that. So I hope that it'll enable me to do that. Yeah.
So yeah, you were talking about, I was going to wrap this up, but I actually got quite intrigued by what you just said about being an advisor isn't just about exams. It's also about, you know, having empathy and being able to talk to your clients. Do you think that's something that maybe should be a training or something that is given to people so that they can understand how to form those relationships and have those kind of, sometimes you're going to need to have difficult conversations. So do you think that's something that is needed?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I've always been sort of quite naturally just confident and felt that I could sort of communicate with people well. But if the thought of actually sitting in front of someone like face to face and doing, you know, having any sort of client meeting absolutely frightens the life out of me, the thought of it just puts the fear in me. So I know I can do it and I will eventually, but it's just one, like, it's the first time you do anything, isn't it? But I think, you know, in school I didn't have any kind of training on speaking or anything like that. It was only, I was really lucky in my last job when I worked for the insurance company, I had a manager who was, she was young herself and really sort of ambitious, and she really helped me just to kind of get me used to sort of speaking in front of people, speaking to people. And she was a sort of a massive role model for me. So if you don't have that, I think, yeah, it's definitely a barrier. So yeah, I definitely think sort of training or coaching in that area would be beneficial.
Yeah. Well, that's really great. I really enjoyed speaking with you today, Tamsin. Is there any advice that you would want to give to someone who might be taking a similar path to you, kind of thinking about getting into financial planning, financial advice?
Yeah, I would say if you're kind of in that position where you're not perhaps in financial advice, but you've got an interest, just try and find a job in the industry. If that's kind of as an administrator, try and do that. But, you know, if you're not getting anywhere, which is where I was, I started studying for my first exam. And just by doing that, it kind of showed a willing and people sort of took a chance on me. But I would say just like, open up your sort of echo chamber, if you like, just like follow as many people in the industry as you can, listen to as many podcasts as you can. There's so many amazing finance books out there where, you know, people have done some amazing work and written about it, and it will honestly, it will just inspire you and motivate you to push forward. I mean, even podcasts like this one and plenty of others that I listen to regularly, you're often speaking to people that have kind of had sort of about their journeys into financial advice. Listen to those because it will fill you with ideas about ways to get involved and different routes you can take. So that would be my advice. Yeah, is just absorb as much as you can.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you for speaking with me today, Tamsin.
No worries. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation With. We do hope that you enjoyed it. Please do keep up to date with all our new releases via Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date with all our new content published on the Money Marketing website, as well as our print edition Money Marketing magazine. So make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next time.